Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. A lot to talk about today. There is one town here in Oklahoma that wants to change its name. We'll talk about that. You ever been at TJ Maxx and seen all that food? You think, where does that come from? Got the answers for you. There are concerns about the mental health of U.S. college students. A new report out. We'll have details. Europe, they're worried about ISIS. ISIS is on the move. And some disturbing details about tech-distracted kids. All that coming up on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
The weekend edition, Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We have an online stream there at kpcg.fm and also at thetrumpet.com. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today. And everybody's got a little pep in their step as you head towards the weekend. Yeah, you think so?
I'm pretty excited for the weekend.
Yeah.
It's been a tiring week.
It's always a good feeling when you've had a good long week and then you're ready to relax, rejuvenate. Recharge the batteries. You can't keep going and going. You got to take a break.
Yeah, I always get a lot of rest on Sunday. That's a pretty fun time. I might do something enjoyable besides resting, but resting is the priority.
We are in that, if you're a sports fan, it's that awkward time between seasons. There's no football yet. You know, well, there's baseball, but that's, I don't know if that's as big of a deal.
Baseball's finally getting its due attention. It's the only thing.
How many games do they play in a season?
162.
That's a lot of games.
See, that's why people need to realize, make baseball your favorite sport, and you can watch it every single night.
I wonder if there's ever been a baseball coach that's lost the season opener and said, guys, we got 161 games to get this back on track.
Probably all the time. I don't think they even care much about the nightly outcome.
You just have to keep winning enough, and then the playoffs is when it gets pretty exciting. So, lots to talk about in today's program. This first story here is kind of interesting for the Oklahoma residents. Of course, we're broadcasting from Herbert W. Armstrong College in Edmond, Oklahoma area, Oklahoma City, and a lot of listeners online at kpcg.fm too. But for those in the local listening area, this headline says, "Resident starts petition to change Durant, Oklahoma name to Westbrook." Because Kevin Durant, of course, left for the Golden State Warriors. Now, Durant, Oklahoma is not named after him, but still, they don't want his name on their town. And so the petition says this: "As many of you know, Kevin Durant has left our state, torn out our hearts, and left our beloved Oklahoma City Thunder in depleted shape. All of this after even being offered a cabinet position for the state of Oklahoma." That seems like that's a bit of a bad idea. Hand those out.
Yeah, he pretty much Oklahoma offered him everything you could possibly imagine to stay with the Thunder.
Then the petition goes on to say, "It is because of this heinous action that I believe the state of Oklahoma has a responsibility to change the name of the city of Durant to Westbrook, the man who is loyal, whom we believe in, and who will lead our team to glory."
I love it. I'll donate money to the cause.
You want to see it changed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, Kevin Durant happens to be in the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, not the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. We need to make a subset of the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Shame, and put Kevin Durant in there because he is a traitor.
It's a hot topic. It's a hot topic. It's a good thing we don't have live call-ins at this point because I'm sure...
I'll take him on. I'll take him head on. I'll destroy everyone.
Grant, of course, he bleeds blue, as they say. He's a Thunder guy. So
you just can't go to the Warriors, man. You got to be a competitor.
Yeah, that's what a lot of guys have said. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I don't know that this petition will get anywhere, but it's kind of funny, and it made some national headlines on some of the sports blogs. So we'll see. We'll see. But that is something that I know over the years, watching the weather, and they'd say, you know, storm coming into Durant or whatever, and I know my kids were always like, did they name that after Kevin Durant?
No, they definitely didn't. It's been around a long time. It's a tiny town.
Yeah, just...
But yeah, it should be changed. Russell Westbrook's a true hero. I've actually liked him better for years. I know a lot of people are saying that now that Durant's gone, but I actually really did because he plays harder.
He does play hard, no doubt. Yeah, he's a human dynamo for sure. You ever been at TJ Maxx and going through the checkout or some of those areas and you see the food sitting there and you think to yourself, where did that come from? Because it's kind of all pushed around and there's random goods and... And I guess I've always thought, and I used to, actually, when I was a teenager, my first job was at a TJ Maxx. I always thought it was kind of secondhand stuff. And turns out that it's not. They say it's made specifically for TJ Maxx and sold to them. And that it's an intentional strategy, the fact that there's only certain items. They might be there, they might not be another time, to try to make shoppers say, if I don't get it now, it could be gone. So I have had moments there going through the checkout, kind of feeling a little neblish, and thinking, I want to buy that, but I don't know how old it is or where it came from. But apparently it's good. Apparently the food is good.
So it's just sitting in a pile at the end of the checkout line.
Well, if you go through the checkout, it's kind of hodgepodgey, like some of those stores are. You know, where it's you just got a few different items, and they've got some food there, and there are other parts of the store where there's food too. But they say. This article says TJ Maxx's pantry is chaos. Their edible section has garlic-stuffed olives with organic beetroot powder, Himalayan salt with luxury Tunisian olive oil.
Wow.
Which if you've been there, you know that's true, that there's all kinds of stuff there. But they say they're doing that on purpose. They say they do this to create a sense of FOMO. F-O-M-O. That's fear of missing out on your one-time opportunity to buy... these items. Fear of missing out.
That
FOMO.
Is absolutely brilliant. What a great strategy.
Yeah, they say it works. They're trying to pressure the customers to think, well, that looks interesting. If I don't get it now, it's going to be gone. And this establishes, they say, an urgency to buy the item cheaply, but also to come back to the store to find out what's there next time. It might be something new and exciting. They say, contrary to the assumption that TJ Maxx sells overstock or discards from fancy food stores like Williams-Sonoma or Macy's, TJ Maxx often acquires items that are specially produced just for them. Andy Oliver, the president of jam and condiment company Braswells, says they want top quality. I don't think people realize it's not blowout stuff. You're manufacturing for them. So... that's what they claim anyway. It's actually pretty good stuff, and it's not just, you know, hey, nobody wants this cookie. Send it to TJ Maxx, but that they're actually getting it on purpose. And so that might change, you know, some people's opinions when they're going through the checkout line.
Well, that's next level stuff for a grocery store. We've already heard of different types of analogies, like the grocery store being laid out like a minefield.
Yeah.
Where pretty much everywhere there's something tempting or distracting you from what you even came there to buy. To put them right in at the checkout line like that for such a limited time, that just shows you they're kind of ahead of the game there. And I'm also going to seriously look up where the nearest TJ Maxx is now.
Yeah, just there in Edmond. You know, it's interesting. Like I said, I worked at one years ago when I was in high school. And sometimes your job was to go in the back and the new boxes would come in. You'd open it up, put the merchandise on the rack. And I have to say, it was pretty exciting because you never knew what was coming.
It's always random.
Because it's kind of random things. And so you
thought it was random, but probably.
Yeah, but probably
not. Now. Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, it was kind of interesting to see what was there. I think that's one of the appeals of those stores is that it is a bit of a discount and you never quite know exactly what's going to be there. So there's a lot of stores like that. When I was in Ireland, there was a TJ Maxx, but it was called something different. Like, it had a different name because it was a different... I forget what it was. It was TK Maxx, I think.
Oh, so that's kind of easy to tell that it's connected somehow.
And I was like, wait a second, is that TJ Maxx? No, it's TK Maxx.
We seriously have one in Edmond?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've been missing out all these years. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you some directions afterwards.
Please do.
So you can Google map it. Call an Uber to give you a ride over there.
Call an Uber.
Maybe a drone will deliver their items for us. It's hard. There's all kinds of new technology. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting story. I thought a lot of people go through those types of stores. They happen to talk about TJ Maxx. I imagine it could be others as well. Any of those, they have Ross and they have Marshalls and those different places. So I don't know about all of them, but I'm guessing it's a similar strategy.
Probably. Those are probably all grouped in the same category. At least in my mind, they are.
Yeah, very similar stores. This headline here from Reuters talking about the economy, saying U.S. second quarter growth trimmed to 1.1%. Consumer spending raised, though. They always do this. They put out their what they think the GDP is going to be, and or the growth is going to be, rather. And then they usually come back and revise it, usually down. In this case, they did. So it was 1.1%. At least it's not negative, I guess, if you want to look on the positive side. But they thought it was going to be 1.2%. So it's not quite what they thought. It's interesting, though. The United States represented 28.69% of the world's total economy in 1960. That was our highest point. And the lowest point was 21.42% in 2011. That's the nearest that they have stats for, at least from what I saw. So the U.S. is still a major, obviously, part of the world's economy. And again, I mean, at least it's growing somewhat, but those are 1%. I mean, it's basically like you're standing still.
Right. Yeah. It's still a powerhouse worldwide, but you can see why some economists might say, hey, everything's fine, because we're still over a fifth of worldwide production pretty much, but it's going down. And that's the key point.
Well, and two, even though, I mean, we're basically standing still, a little bit of growth, 1%. But that, how much is debt growing? That's the thing. I mean, if we didn't have any debt, you could say, hey, neat. We grew 1%. That's an addition. But it'd be interesting to compare it to the debt numbers, because that's what's so concerning.
Right.
And how high the debt's going up and how quickly it is skyrocketing. So anyway, kind of interesting, some financial numbers there. They're talking about maybe raising the interest rates a little bit. They've been so low for a long time to stimulate growth in the economy. You know, you can go out and buy a car in most cases for 0% interest or 5% interest or whatever it is, 1.9. And the gravy train might be pulling out of the station at some point. We may not have those low interest rates anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, especially if you're trying to buy something or taking out a loan. You don't want to take out a loan when the interest rates are higher.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, they wouldn't make it high, you know, too high, I'm sure, initially. But anyway, be interesting to see how that goes. But no matter what they talk about, when you've got so much debt, that's a major, major problem. There's a lot written about that at the Trumpet, giving you some good perspective on the reality of some of those debt numbers. It's pretty terrifying.
And we just think we can keep spending and spending and spending, and there's no problem there at all. Eventually, you would think that the people giving us money would just stop, or the people who we owe would ask for their money back.
Yeah, but the fact that we're such a large part of the global economy is the reason, of course, we're still plugging along here for now. But of course,
for now.
if you've read some of the write-ups of the Trumpet, you know that China is very active in what they're doing, and some other areas as well that are really building up how much of the economy they're involved in. And then there's the shipping lanes, too, which is a big, big deal that China's fighting for. So a lot of the nations are thinking ahead, and more so than I think the U.S. is, in terms of global trade.
Yeah, it seems like our administration's thinking 3 months down the line, and that's about it. Get out of office with some of these legacy moves still intact, and it doesn't really matter who takes over after that.
Yeah, there's a write-up today here also. This is from the standard.co.uk. Of course, ISIS has been a big concern for a few years, I suppose. Europe especially. Well, this is not good news for Europe. It says, revealed, ISIS sends new waves of jihadis to attack Europe. The alert came as the EU's top law enforcement officer revealed that increasing numbers of jihadis are using fake documents to sneak into Europe. I don't think that would be surprising. Europol's director, Rob Wainwright, said IS had taken a strategic decision to send its fanatics to attack the continent in an attempt to distract attention from battlefield defeats in its heartland. That's his take on it anyway. He also highlighted the weapons trade on the dark net, which, of course, is the forbidden internet that I guess somebody knows how to get onto. I don't. For me, the dark net is when I close my eyes and I'm on the internet. But I don't think that's what they mean.
It sounds really terrifying.
Yeah, apparently there's a whole underbelly out there.
It existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's a major part of a security challenge that is now facing Europe. So they gave a few warnings here. He had an interview with the Standard at Europol's HQ in The Hague. And he said a new squad of 200 counterterrorism officers is to be deployed to the Greek islands within weeks to spot extremists sneaking entry into Europe. Predicted more attempted Paris-style, quote, spectacular attacks, saying there are more than 50 counterterror investigations underway in Europe right now. that they think are going to end up being, you know, could be spectacular type attacks. Those are the ones they know about. Of course, the ones that happen are ones that they usually don't know about. Warned of reports that extremists are attempting to radicalize migrants at refugee reception centers in Greece and the Balkans. And they revealed that hundreds of law enforcement operations are trying to stop illegal firearms being moved to Britain and other EU nations. So they're trying to do all this while at the same time have this sort of open border refugee policy. The two just don't mix. They can't work together.
Yeah, ISIS just keeps on winning. Like you said, a lot of it's to distract from some of its defeats in the Middle East. They're winning somewhere all the time. Every day it seems like they claim responsibility for another attack. And they're encouraging their terrorists to carry out attacks like the one in Nice, France. So they are thinking big-time terrorist attacks, killing hundreds of people.
Yeah, they're looking for those, as they say, spectacular attacks. So that's a concern. This interesting report here about, they say, new concerns arise about mental health of college students. Of course, this time of year, colleges are getting started again, and the students are heading back. They say new concerns arise about the mental health of students on college campuses all across the country. Dr. Jean Bernsen, a psychiatrist and executive director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at Massachusetts General Hospital, sounds like a soap opera, says 50% to 60% of college students have a psychiatric disorder. That's more than half.
Well, I look at the world they live in now and the people who are teaching them.
Well, that's the first thing I thought was that, you know, where are they coming from? Like, what's their home life like? What kind of a situation are they going to college from? This doctor says, what I'm including in that, talking about these psychiatric problems, is the use of substances, anxiety, depression, problems with relationships, breakups, academic problems, learning disabilities, attentional problems. If you add them all up, 50% doesn't seem that high. So it's interesting to look at this list. Use of substances, of course, illegal, or I suppose some could be prescription, but they'll still affect people. Anxiety, depression, problems with relationships, breakups. A lot of those things don't have to happen. You know, I, for years, of course, it's been going on. It's just not even a thought anymore to think opposite of people starting to get into serious dating relationships in middle school or earlier. But when those things happen, you know, that's one cause. I'm sure there's a lot of causes, family breakup, all kinds of things. But people, you know, talking about problems with relationships, you're going into college as an 18-year-old. What? You shouldn't be having big-time relationships and big-time problems.
Exactly. Way too young for marriage, so why even be that serious in dating?
What's the best case scenario? Breaking up, right? you move on.
It has to end at some point because you're both immature when you start the relationship. It's very rare to see someone who dates from the teen years and then gets married 10 years later.
Yeah. So a lot of these problems are they're created by the people that have them. I mean, it's not like I should say there are solutions to these things because it's kind of a hopeless report in a way if you look at it. But there are solutions. You just have to look at what they're labeling substances. Well, don't use them. Okay.
Right.
You know, maybe that's oversimplifying it for some people, but I don't know. Just don't get involved. Anxiety. A lot of that comes from, you know, these issues we're talking about. Depression. Anxiety, depression. I bet a lot of that goes right back to those relationships. It's probably half the cause of their problems. Because they're involved in all these situations as very young people. And then inevitably it doesn't work well. And so now you've got what? Anxiety, you've got depression, et cetera, et cetera. So you have psychiatric issues. And then, well, of course, then they say attentional problems, paying attention. Well, it's hard to pay attention when you've got a phone in your pocket and a headphone in your ear and a smartwatch and a who knows what else going on.
We just pinpointed all the problems, mostly you. I got to give you the credit for that.
Thank you.
Really, you did knock it all down there. Relationship issues, whether it is dating or the family, that encompasses most all of it. Because if you're having a problem in a class or in your job, you're not going to get too depressed if you have a good support system, a family that can help you out in those tough times.
It's such a weird time that we live in because on one hand, you've got people involved in situations that are leading to all these things, anxiety, depression, problems with relationships, so on and so forth. And then on the other side of it, they're saying, you know, I want to go to my safe space and nobody offend me. And people want to be coddled, but yet are doing things that are going to lead to depression, anxiety, et cetera. And instead of normal, probably life where you don't get involved in all this stuff, if you have a little thing that bugs you here and there, you get over it and move on. Mm-hmm. This is like the extreme in both ways. And it's ending up with all these health problems, mental health problems.
Well, yeah, the safe spaces are there to counteract what people are doing wrong in their own lives in the first place. Talking about drugs, a lot of people are pushing to just end the war on drugs. What does that mean? Well, the drugs are basically legal. Is that really going to solve issues, making every drug available without any crime being involved, without doing something to break the law?
Right. Ending the war on drugs is like starting the war on the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it's not a good situation to be involved in. But one of the things about this report, about these different psychological problems that they're having in college, young college students, I mean, they're just starting out in life, really should be an exciting time. The suicide rate is very high. They say a college student kills himself every day in the U.S. There are more than 1,000 suicides on college campuses per year. So, I mean, that's a time of life where you should be excited and getting on with, you know, your education and your career and those types of things. And yet some people are in the depths of depression.
Yeah, it does. A lot of it does have to start in the family, you know, talking about drugs. And then, of course, they go to these institutions and are pretty much force-fed certain courses, and they get hundreds of thousands of dollars into debt to even go to college. It just seems like there's no way out. They even graduate and think they're supposed to get some high-level job right away, and they don't get that. A lot of depression.
Yeah. There's this interesting report, Crisis on Campus, The Untold Story of Student Suicides, and they look at some of the numbers. They say 6% of undergraduates and 4% of graduate students in a four-year college have seriously considered attempting suicide in the past year. That's a high percentage of the student body.
You would think that on these campuses, they're so beautiful. There are so many amenities there that it would be pretty much like living in paradise.
Yeah, it should be a good time, but inevitably it's not. And a lot of it has to do with choices. I mean, it's a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody sets out to say, I want to be really depressed, but certain actions lead to depression. They say nearly half of each group did not tell anyone. So there are quite a few people that have contemplated it. Haven't done it, thankfully. Hopefully don't, but they don't tell anyone, so they don't. The numbers are a little bit, you know, murky in that way. The suicide rate among young adults ages 15 to 24 has tripled since the 1950s. What else has happened since the 1950s? Family breakdown.
Exactly. That's a really good point. You're getting right back to the root cause, that these people are products of a broken home. They maybe have had their parents divorced from the time they were just a few years old. And that's all they've ever known. It just gives you no stability going out into the real world.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, even if you just look at, say, the pop culture, 1950s, everybody thinks of those TV shows, right? Leave It to Beaver, etc. Kind of hammy type shows. But what was common in all of them was you pretty much had a mom and a dad, and you know, the biggest problem that the kid would get into is he got into a scrape with his bike or something that day, you know. He didn't go to bed depressed. I know those are just TV shows, but they're a reflection of society. You look at them today and it's like a joke. Like, oh, that's so old-fashioned. Well, what's wrong with that? Mom and dad? Stable family? I don't think people would be depressed.
Did things not work way better back then? And it's not just families breaking apart from divorce. It's, well, any type of family structure goes. Contrary to all facts, people say that, well, whatever type of structure works, single motherhood is just as good as being married and a mother. Having two fathers or two mothers is just fine as well, when the statistics say otherwise.
Yeah. They say there's been 1,100 suicides at colleges per year. That's 7.5 per 100,000 students. 1 in 12 have actually made a plan to commit suicide at some point. 1 in 12.
Yeah, and all the people who are scarred by seeing that happen or being nearby when it happens too.
Well, you can see why. And we were talking yesterday about this lady that, you know, the guy honked his horn at her. She was on a bike and she flipped out and lost her mind about it. You can see why people kind of start snapping like that, because what's going on in their heads? They didn't just wake up and have a normal day. They're in a depression. they're having problems. And maybe this one, maybe those are people that are thinking about suicide or something. And so they're very on edge. And so you see people just wildly overreacting to things. But it's probably because they're just in such a depression all the time.
The world is a really dark place for people who don't have a really established purpose already. They don't have maybe a vision of where they want to go. It just, even just going out into a big city, it just feels like there's so much hopelessness all around, if, from my experience.
Well, right. And, you know, and so if you get to college as a young, impressionable person, you're depressed. And typically the depression is, again, a result of family breakdown, poor personal choices. And you're angry and you're frustrated. And then you've got a professor there, or you've got the academic establishment saying the reason you're depressed is because of, and then they point the finger at what, capitalism or, you know, something like that. It's very easy to sway people that way because they are frustrated and they are upset. And so it's easier to point the finger at somebody else as opposed to saying, maybe I need to make some changes.
Yeah, it's never anyone's own fault today. That's why so many people out there are professional victims. They just, all they do is get up and they start protests or riots and pretty much don't do much else.
You know, it's interesting here looking at these stats, the demographics, the rate of suicide is mostly Caucasian. Caucasians are twice as likely to commit suicide as African Americans. 90% of completed suicides are by Caucasians. And again, we're talking about students here, college students. So, but the numbers are rising in the African American community as well. So it's not good on any level. I don't want to depress everybody, but it's an interesting story, and it does kind of tie into the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, which we'll talk about here in just a minute as well. A lot talked there today about family, so we'll talk about that here in just a second. But in any event, yeah, pretty shocking numbers. New concerns about mental health of college students: 50 to 60%. They think. Have psychiatric disorders. So pretty bad deal there. Moving on from that into something a little more on the, I don't know what you'd call it. Not really funny, but bizarre, I guess. The Of Course This Is Happening segment. Of course this is what's going on. Portland Public Schools rap music ban sparks allegations of racism. So this is a big blow up now. Out in Portland, which is a pretty liberal community, the school out there, one of the schools, had to decide what kind of music, what kind of radio stations you could play on the bus. And so this has become quite a problem. This is what they sent out to all the bus drivers. They say, below is a list of the approved radio stations that may be listened to when students are present on the bus. The list excludes any radio stations that may be in any way offensive to any student riding on the bus. Well, in that case, they should just ride in silence.
It's impossible to avoid offending every single person today.
They say the stations that are deemed inappropriate include any religious, rap music, or talk show programs. So they couldn't listen to religious shows. They can't listen to rap music. They can't listen to talk shows. So they can't listen to us.
Well, that's just a shame for them. They're really missing out.
Yeah, because of the talk show, not the rapping part. Unless you've prepared something.
No.
Nothing's prepared.
It's never crossed my mind.
Yeah, okay. They say the list below is to be used to select radio stations. So they give a few stations. So there's three categories: pop music, country, or jazz. And so people were outraged, not about the religious or the talk show portion. They thought, oh, who cares about that? It was the rap music. They said it was racist.
It sounds like the categories they picked were the least controversial, to be honest. I mean, even a lot of talk shows that people are going to be divided down the middle about those ideas. Religion, half people almost today are not religious at all.
Right.
Rap music, I mean, are they trying to possess the entire genre for black people? Is that what they're trying to do? Because it sounds like that would almost be racist in the first place.
Right. There are different people that enjoy that, I guess. Portland Public School officials are rethinking a district ban. They're rethinking it because of the pushback. The district had banished hip-hop from its buses, deeming the genre inappropriate. And so they got some pushback against this. They say, we regret the way this was communicated. Our intent is to limit student exposure to religious teachings, of course, get those out of here, profanity, and violent lyrics. So those are the three things lumped together: religious teachings, profanity, and violent lyrics.
All right, that's a little bit triggering for us, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting putting those all together. The transportation, they say, department will be revising its guidance to bus drivers shortly to be more inclusive of different genres of music, but not, I guess, religion or any of that.
Just put religion on this low level, the dust of the earth, pretty much. Yeah.
Get it out of
here. Same level as violence and profanity, apparently.
So, pretty interesting. I had the, well, should I call it the privilege of riding school buses for many, many hours. And that it always was a thing on the bus. Like, who, what are you going to listen to? And it usually broke down between the pop station and the country station. It kind of went back and forth. And I do remember that being kind of a thing. And a lot of the music is bad. I mean, whether it's whatever the genre is. And I mean, just from sitting there, I think everybody that's ridden a bus knows this. It definitely affects the mood on the bus, you know, the music and the... it just affects people's thinking. And so just if you want to look at it from the standpoint of, are kids going to get to school ready to learn something that day? Does anyone really think listening to rap music, or really any of it, but they're talking about rap here, does anyone think they're going to listen to those songs and come to school and be like, all right, I'm ready to tear into this you know, math quiz today? Or everything about those songs is... anti-establishment, anti-authority, and then they're going to go to school and just somehow magically be good students that day?
Forget about the accusations of racism. Just think about the lyrics. A disproportionate number of lyrics are about violence and drugs and promiscuity. So that is the one category that you could single out and say, we'll just not listen to that. In general, it is worse. I mean, anyone could say that. It's almost unthinkable to even... have rap music on a bus. I was on a bus plenty of times too, and there are some pretty wild things going on. But to have rap music on as well, that would really sway the mood into something really hostile.
Absolutely. I think it's a student. He's a senior. I believe it's a he. Has a hyphenated name. They're causing a stir about this. The name is Ryan Oaky, and I think that's the last name. It says, I think it's overly racist and leaves out two of our major communities in our music choices. They said the music was written off as inappropriate, but Latin music also isn't even addressed. So now they want Latin music too. Why don't you just mix them all together?
Yeah, let's just...
Used to do on airplanes. Everybody gets a headset and you just can pick what you want to listen to on the armrest.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's spend a ton of money on the buses to personalize every chair so that everyone can listen to whatever they actually prefer the most. It's true, though. People might think, well, rap's going to sway the mood. Yeah, I've seen people change in a second as soon as a certain song comes on. They try to act tougher. Yeah. They get more confrontational, especially on the bus when there are hardly any rules in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to turn things crazy.
Well, the other day we were talking about recess and how some people don't want to have recess because they don't want to be bullied or their kids bullied. Imagine getting on a bus and being, you know, somebody that's going to be bullied that day, and all of a sudden one of these like rap songs comes on that's pretty violent. I would be nervous about that.
Definitely.
You know, who's standing up for these kids? They say when you outlaw a kind of music that is very indicative of the modern culture of one group of people, you're basically saying that they're not welcome. So apparently if you get on a bus and there's no rap music and you like rap, you feel like you're not welcome there.
Let's just leave that to our own personal devices. You can put headphones on a bus anyway. That's the thing that people forget. No one is telling you to avoid putting your headphones on.
Right. Yeah. And so this student then goes after country music, which I'm not a proponent necessarily of that either, but they say country music is offensive. It's about date rape, liquor, and drugs. Well, wow. Probably so. I don't know. I don't know all the songs that are out there. They say it's just as offensive as rap music can be. Well, there may be some truth to that. So, I don't know, but why is that an argument to listen to all of it? Wouldn't that be an argument to listen to none of it? Turn it all off?
Precisely. You have, you know, above a high school level of logic, it seems like, which this person, he needs to graduate.
Yeah. Yeah, the big argument is that, well, your music is just as terrible as mine.
Let's listen to them all.
Turn it all off. Just put on Latin music and everybody can be happy. Well, what they should do is they should try to find like the one type of music that nobody likes and just play that.
Yeah.
And then you can all sit there.
Antagonize everybody, but at least you're not playing someone's favorite music over someone else's.
Well, even, you know, the funny thing about this ban or whatever that they're going back on, there's only one radio on the bus. What are you going to do? You're going to have one day of the week for each station? I mean, you're going to have to make a decision what you want to listen to.
Right.
You can't listen to every station at the same time. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So anyway, they got to be mad about something. And that's of course, that's what's happening out there in Portland. They don't want rap music banned because if you're a teacher, you want those kids coming in fired up and ready to fight your authority at every turn.
Yeah, I know. Let's just take a moment, listen to the lyrics, and just think if we really want the kids to listen to that before going to school.
Not a great idea. Not a great idea. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program coming up this weekend here on KPCG. We've got a couple of programs that are newer over the last couple of weeks, and those will be here on KPCG. One of them is the Key That Unlocks the Bible and the Two Anointed Ones. Those are two of the newer programs, and we'll have those for you this weekend here on KPCG. You can go back and watch the archives or listen to those at thetrumpet.com or kpcg.fm. And in case you're worried that you're going to run out, there are multiple hundreds of programs. So you'll have plenty.
Plenty of room for binge listening all weekend.
Yeah, unless you're riding a bus in Portland to school, then it is banned.
Not on your headphones, though. Whip out the headphones.
Turn down that religion. I want some of that rap. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, also coming up here in a bit on KPCG from Edstone, England. He talks about a topic today that ties in quite a bit with what we were mentioning there about some of the situations on college campuses. He talks about the role of the father in the family. Honoring the father, both the physical father and God the Father, goes hand in hand. That is lacking in the world today, and he mentioned that how children that come from situations without fathers are more likely to commit crimes, according to the statistics. An uncomfortable statistic for a lot of people, but that's what the numbers say.
Yeah, that's a highly offensive topic for a lot of people. But just think about it. We were even talking about with recent riots. You know, these kids who are out on the street throwing stuff around, if they had to come home to an angry, grown, strong man who is head of their household, it probably would deter them from getting into that in the first place.
Absolutely, because, you know, I think for a lot of us that we're fortunate enough to have fathers, and in some cases a father dies or something. I mean, that's not the point of what he's talking about. He's talking about the breakdown of the family. But for those of us fortunate to have fathers, one of the things was most of us knew that if you got in trouble at school, the bigger issue was what was going to happen when you got home.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way you think about it. Actually, speaking of that rap music ban, that reminds me when I was a kid and I had this little like weight room thing kind of set up in our garage, and I had a little stereo out there, and I was playing some of the popular radio stations of the day, and one song came on. It wasn't that bad, but it was still in that sort of that vein, I guess. And I just remember my dad coming out there and just looking at me and looking at the thing and just shutting it off, walking out the door. And so
the implication being that next time he smashes it on the ground, probably.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it if you're not going to listen to him.
Yeah. So there was a pretty clear message sent there to turn that off.
And it does strike fear in your heart in a unique way. The mother can be intimidating too as well, but not as much as the father can.
Well, especially when you get to be a teenager in that age group. I mean, there still needs to be some of that authority there. And the thing is, there's been such a pushback against that from more feminist ideologies where they're supposed to be, you know, the fathers are supposed to act like women. And, you know, they really harp on the examples of, say, a dad taking it too far, which happens sadly, but pretty rare, I think, if you look at the overall population, and think that discipline's bad, and it's not, as long as it's done the right way and in love. Because, you know, we all of us know that if there's no law or there's nothing holding us back, we're going to get into a lot of trouble. It's just the way humans are.
Yeah, it's the same thing out on the streets. If there's no policemen around at all, is there anything keeping your average person from committing a crime? That's really what the father is in the home. He is the authority, and obviously he has to have a lot of love as well to fulfill his role. But how can you just say that, well, we need to get rid of half of the parental structure for these children?
Right. And when you do, what happens is there's problems with crime, and that's because there's no fear and no respect for authority. So that's on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. Make sure you listen for that over the weekend as well. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, talk about how kids are being distracted by technology. It's right after this on Trumpet Radio Live.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live.
Hello, I'm Ryan Malone, host of Music for Life, and in our next episode, we will be exploring one of the most famous lyrics of all time, a Hebrew word that has been used throughout millennia and throughout all sorts of different languages and religious denominations. In our Sounds of Scripture segment, we will explore the origins of this word and how it has survived as the phrase of choice in sacred songs of praise. And in our Classroom Corner segment, we're going to see the power of praise in the music classroom and what kind of praise specifically fosters more growth in the music student. So join me for an absolutely uplifting and exuberant episode of Music for Life, simply titled Hallelujah.
Join Ryan Malone on Music for Life this Monday at 4 p.m. Central on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Thanks for joining us today on Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG, online we're at kpcg.fm, live link there at thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter and join our growing Twitter family, please do that, at kpcgfm, and we send out some tweets with programming information and maybe occasionally a picture of a rainbow, which people seem to like. Sometimes we have a rainbow outside the studio, so you think, hey, people might want to see that.
How do you not like it? It's majestic.
How do people not like the rainbow? And then if you'd like to email us, you can do that at comments@kpcg.fm, and we're happy to look at those for you. Thanks for sending those in, and you can tell us where you're listening from and give us some insight there. We have listeners around the world. We appreciate you joining us there and over the air here at 101.3. This is a Trumpet Radio Live Weekend Edition. Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon with you here today. And Grant, I don't think it's any surprise to people that young people especially can become very distracted when there's a smartphone in their hands. People of all ages get distracted when they're driving sometimes, and you see them. Actually, the Pokemon Go game, that just cost somebody their life.
Whoa.
Somebody was driving, playing Pokemon Go, and they killed a person. So, terrible situation there. This is a really, really interesting video. Tech-distracted kids so deep into devices, they fail to notice new parents sitting at the dinner table. What did they do here?
This video has a really energetic narrator. Basically, the kids are at the dinner table, and they're so engrossed in the screen in front of them that the parents switch places with a couple other random adults. The siblings sitting around the table with them switch places. Sometimes the siblings may be 8 years old, and then a 25-year-old walks in wearing the same color clothes and sits down right across from this kid, and the kid has no idea. There's one point the narrator says, oh, there's a Viking walking in and hanging up a zebra painting on the wall. And so basically they're changing the entire environment, taking down paintings, putting up new ones, taking away certain flower vases and putting in new ones. And the whole time the kid has no idea what's going on,
'cause he's so engrossed in his phone.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a strange paradox because we call it distraction, but in a way they're so focused on something trivial on a screen that it's actually impressive.
It is amazing. It really highlights, I think, one of the dangers of, say, a smartphone, I guess, today, or even you could say TV or something. And people will talk about it in the sense of, well, what they're looking at is not bad. Like, that's kind of the gauge. But if you just kind of throw that out the window and just say, yeah, but what are you missing? Like, what are you doing with your time? The fact that a kid can sit down at a table and have the people in the room switch places, and they can change the decor on the walls, and they don't notice it. How much else of life are you missing? Even if you're looking at something that's not technically bad, what are you missing? It's amazing.
Everything. And the thing is, in this scenario on the video, it's several households, and these are real experiments to see how engrossed the kids are. But the mother will duck underneath the kitchen counter, and another mother will pop out wearing generally the same clothes. But you'd think if you glanced up for a second, you would still notice that. These kids just have no idea. This guy walks in with a Viking helmet on
yeah.
and changes a wall painting right in front of the kid, and the kid doesn't even have any clue.
It's just astounding that can happen. But it just shows how much people get caught up in it. And I bet I bet if you ask those kids, how distracted are you or how aware are you of your surroundings, they probably would say, I'm pretty aware. I'm not that distracted. Because it's easy to think, you know, it's like the example of driving. It's so easy for people to say, well, I'm just going to look down for a quick second. And then all of a sudden, you've traveled, you know, 70 feet and maybe have a problem there. So really interesting to see the way attention gets taken from people. And I have some kids, and I notice that they don't have smartphones. They're pretty young. But they, you know, if the television is on, it is amazing how that, no matter what else is happening, that is becomes the focus of their universe. It can be like a car commercial for a Chevy truck. And for some reason, nothing else matters except staring at that. It's crazy. I mean, no offense to Chevy, but.
Chevy, I mean, they probably put out some pretty impressive ads.
They're nice trucks.
But still, that is true. It's probably the least important thing going on in the room when it's just a car commercial.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it just has an allure. And what is on the screen is an important thing. But even if you think it is worthwhile, the kind of focus you get from looking at a screen, you don't come away from it feeling saying, oh, I feel so energetic and lively and like I improve my mind. You come away from it feeling kind of fatigued. And like maybe you weren't doing something so healthy.
Yeah, and it really, I think this even ties in a lot to the depression issues with some of these college students that we were talking about earlier. Just the technical distractions, the tech distractions, that doesn't foster a happy, positive, upbeat experience. It just kind of does suck you into this world. There's been a lot of reports about how being too caught up in the phones and that cut people off from other people. And I think we all have experienced it where if you are feeling a little bit blue and you go out and you're talking to some people and interacting, you feel better. We're designed to have human interaction and input. And that's – so again, when you're talking about some of these tech devices, it's not even so much what's being looked at. That can be terrible as well. But it's what you're missing outside of the little world that is in the palm of your hand.
That's right. You can feel – happier interacting with people. Contrast that with looking at a screen. There have been studies that show that just continually clicking on different parts of the screen, they appeal to immediate impulses in the brain. They do fulfill sort of different. It's like a drug high almost. It has the same effect. So you might think for a second, well, I'm gratifying the senses, but then the longer you do it, it's just this rising sense of a lack of fulfillment.
Yeah, you have to keep doing it. It's like anything. It's like even watching TV sometimes. You can sit down and start watching it, and it pulls you in. You want to watch more, even if it's something that you don't care about. That can happen. So it's pretty interesting, this video. I guess it's on the web. There's a few places you can see it.
Yes, this video goes on for about 2 minutes, and then it turns out in the end it's this ad for a pepper grinder that has a button on the top that switches off all the Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
So basically when it's dinner time, you push the button and no one knows how the Wi-Fi went off, but the Wi-Fi is gone. Now you have to pay attention to your family at dinner.
I'm always very impressed by people that see a need for something and they make a product and something that, you know, 10 years ago would make no sense. You'd be like, why? What do I need this for? But now you're like, oh, okay, I see why I need that.
Yeah, every time children are turning into robots, so I definitely need to turn off the Wi-Fi.
Right, yeah, there's a new Wi-Fi. Hey, that's great, and you know you can use it, and it is good in a lot of ways, but then it presents another problem, and then somebody has to develop a pepper grinder that shuts off the Wi-Fi. But the thing is, the kids then will find it, and they'll figure out how to put a different pepper grinder there.
Yeah.
Or somebody will develop one that blocks the block, you know. You're going to block my Wi-Fi? I've got a salt shaker that turns it back on.
Someone's probably going to invent that because, you know, people don't want to have their Wi-Fi taken away.
No.
It's kind of a non-confrontational parenting tool because you don't have to go physically take the screen out of their hands. You can turn the Wi-Fi and be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi's gone.
Or save yourself the money and just say, put that away.
Right. Just ban it for a long time.
They'll
be upset at you, but they'll appreciate it eventually.
They'll move on. Yeah, pretty interesting. So you can see that video on the web if you want to. It's in a few places. It's an ad, apparently, but a well-done one at that. One other little story to look at here today, and this is kind of interesting, kind of talking about young people as well. In the U.S. especially, there's so much emphasis on sports and young people, and people want to, you know, be professional athletes. A lot of people do. But there's a problem with that sometimes where people get a lot of notoriety pretty young. and then it doesn't turn out so well for them. There's an interesting article here on the Bleacher Report called The Forgotten Prodigy, and it highlights this guy. His name is David Sills. He was going to be the future USC quarterback. He was going to be the guy, and he was only 13 years old.
What happened to him? I guess they do recruit really young now. I think 13 years old is actually older than a lot of recruits that that these colleges find.
Yeah, he grew early, of course, real big kid, and he was hyped. You know, best. You know, you can go on YouTube right now and look for, you know, the best 12-year-old whatever in the country, and they'll show you some video of a kid doing something. And so they feel great about it, and it really builds them up. But a lot of times they don't actually reach that potential, and then their lives are kind of upside down. And so this kid, it didn't quite work out for him, at least not yet. He's still trying. But basically, he was recruited very young, 13. And what happened was the coach at the time was Lane Kiffin. And he got a link sent to him of a video of this guy, Sills, 6 feet, 140-pound, 13-year-old.
That's a thin six-footer.
Yeah.
Wow.
13, can you imagine? I mean, that's a huge guy for 13. So Kiffin called to ask whether this kid was a sophomore or a junior. And he said, well, he's not. He's 13. And he said, get out of here. So less than an hour after seeing this video, the coach never even met this kid. He just saw a video of him. He called back to tell this guy Clarkson that he wanted to offer Sills a scholarship off of a video link. And you can see this now. If you go on YouTube and there's all these guys going around videotaping these kids playing basketball tournaments, especially in football too. And really hyping them up. Yeah, you show the five best plays and put some rap music behind it, and everyone's excited, and they're the next, you know, whoever. But it's not going to work out for a lot of these kids, and they're putting so much pressure on them on a young age that it really stunts them, and it stunted this kid's growth. He's still a very good athlete. He's played some college football, but he hasn't panned out like he thought he would, and it highlights some of the drawbacks of being so highly touted so young.
Yeah, a common question is how come so many of these professional athletes don't consider their job, their sport, as something that's fun? Well, whenever they're at young children and they're already being videotaped, they're already being hyped up and turned toward a professional career when it's supposed to be for the love of the game, it's not too surprising that that's how they think when they're older.
It's their whole life. You know, they've built their whole identity around this being really, really good at a particular sport, but if it doesn't work out for them, then it's hard. The problem this guy has is that he's got a bit of a hitch in his throwing motion, which is a big thing for NFL quarterbacks because you have to get the ball out of your hands so fast. So he went to West Virginia University, and in 2015 they were short on receivers, so they put him in as a receiver. And he was pretty good. He caught a 35-yard touchdown pass. He's a good athlete, but he wants to play college football. And the coach at West Virginia said he has every intangible that you would want from a starting quarterback. He's tall, he runs well, he has good mobility, he's smart and knows the game of football and makes good decisions. But I told him the entire time he was here, until he gets the ball from point A to B how I want it to get there, he can't play quarterback. So he transferred to the smaller school, and he's trying to play and trying to get that hitch out of his motion. So I think there's a couple of problems with these things. One is that they build their whole future around this goal that in a lot of cases they're not going to reach. Sometimes from injury, sometimes they're just not quite good enough. And the other thing is, sometimes these kids are told they're so good so early on that you can't tell them anything until they get to the point where they realize if they don't start listening, you know, it's going to be a problem. But I've even seen that with, you know, young kids in Little League Baseball where somebody told them they were really good and now you can't tell them anything. They can't improve. And it just sets up this negative cycle. And a lot of the reason these things are happening is because these big-time college programs, they need to get the best recruits. They can't lose out on the recruiting class. And so what do? You start finding kids at 13 and telling them they're going to be the best quarterback ever and they're going to come to your college. 13-year-old can't handle that. And in most cases, it doesn't end up being true.
Yeah, they become uncoachable whenever they're just praised so much from a young age. And also, because it's their whole life, they don't really put the focus into academics that they probably should or into some other possible hobby. It's all about that one sport. It's boom or bust. All their eggs are in one basket, you could say. As soon as that doesn't work out, I mean, it's like one in every, what is it, several hundred thousand kids who actually want to be a pro athlete, who become a pro athlete. It sounds like they took I guess USC took away his scholarship offer that they gave him when he was 13.
Well, from what I could tell, he just the coach moved, you know, and once the coach goes, it's like, well, the new guy is going to do his thing, and that happens a lot. And so now this guy David Sills, he's at a junior college, just trying to, because he wants to be a quarterback and play the game. I mean, there's things to admire about that, but the story does highlight just the pressure, being that young, being promised everything before you're really ready to do the job. At 13, you don't know what a kid's going to grow to be. You know, he might grow bigger and be better. He might not. There's a famous documentary a few years ago, Hoop Dreams, that chronicled those two guys from Chicago. And, you know, they put their whole life into it, like you say, and it's probably not going to work out for most people. And I think sports, I mean, we both of us love playing sports, but it's different to play and to have fun versus, you know, this is my life and I'm going to be a pro athlete. It doesn't work out for a lot of these kids. So it's interesting write-up, and it just highlights some of the unnecessary pressures putting on the kids and probably leading to a lot of depression as well. The article is called The Forgotten Prodigy. You can read that at the Bleacher Report if you'd like to find out more about that. What saved me from that was just not being good enough to even be considered in the first place. So that saved me a lot of depression later in life.
Neither of us have any delusions about becoming professional athletes.
No, you've got to be a special blend. I feel bad for those people that are almost good enough, because you always think like, boy, I'm almost good enough. So I tried to stay far away from that and succeeded.
It's such a huge letdown if you get that close to the top of the mountain and you can't quite get there.
Can't quite do it. But anyway, interesting write-up, and it does kind of highlight some of the problems with the sports culture, the overdoing it on some of the sports, and some of the pressures on those young people as well. That'll do it for us today on Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for joining us this week. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and the Trumpet Hour Weekend Review. All of that's coming up this weekend here on KPCG. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, you've been listening to Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.